Yeah. Welcome. Good morning, everyone. The order of worship today is Misha will be giving us the message. Steve will open in prayer. Caleb will be doing the candle lighting. Andy will do the psalm reading. Just a reminder that January 14th is our annual meeting at 1 p.m. And we're all are welcome to join us for that. And we hope that we have a big attendance for that. I do have prayer requests from the foreign mission. This time of year is there's many needs, too many to mention. At the same time, we need to look at our planted churches in India and our planted churches, the Philippines, and our planted churches all over that are in need this time of year, because it's one of those things where we tend to run into situations where we maybe overspend or we don't have the funds to even put a piece of food on our table. So in saying that, prayer is the number one tool, the number one part of the armor of God that we have to pray for those churches, those individuals, and those pastors that are leading those congregations, because they definitely need prayer this time of year. Any other announcements? Obviously, the program is tonight at 6 o'clock, so everybody will hopefully pack this place to listen to the gospel message from our children, and we are looking forward to that. Are there any prayer requests? Okay. Let's begin.
Today we add the candle of love to those of hope, peace, and joy. The angels announce the good news of a Savior, Luke 2:10 and 11, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Psalm for today is Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them the tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh amongst themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen, and planted it. Thou preparedest room before it, and dost cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadows of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of thy wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, shall we unite our hearts together in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we gather with great thankfulness for the fact that you draw us together purely by your love and grace. You draw us together at an especially joyous time when the love of God shown unto men is so rich around us. We gather at a time where the promise of the Christ child, we remember, came to fruition, and all of the prophecies from all of the centuries came to pass on that night. Heavenly Father, cause your face to shine upon all of your children, wherever they might be. Our hearts this morning travel to distant lands where there are so many needs, as we have heard. And Father, we recognize that their needs are different from our needs. They are not fighting just with cold temperatures and things like that, but they battle with the very necessity of life, food and clothing and shelter and protection from persecution and all manner of things that are so hard physically upon your children in many, many countries. And Father, we ask that at the Christmas season, their hearts might be fixed upon Christ, the reason for this Christmas season, and that by being fixed upon Christ and trust in you, that they might know that they have not been forgotten. As a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without your notice, we recognize, Father, and we pray that they recognize that they are not forgotten. Your children are never forgotten. Keep them steadfast in your word. Keep them steadfast in your grace. Provide for their natural needs and for their health so that they might be able to also bring this gospel to others, which is in the hearts of so many of them. The desire to spread the gospel in countries where religions are all based upon self. Heavenly Father, our thoughts and prayers go to every family, whether locally or elsewhere, that at Christmas time is coming together at a time which is very busy, at a time which many times can be frustrating. But we ask, Father, that there would be a calmness and a quietness and a peace that visits every Christian home. And that, above all, the message of Jesus Christ would transcend all of the gift-giving and all of the meal preparation and everything else that could and should and must be done at this time of the year. Father, we ask that this light that shines from heaven of Jesus Christ would shine into the darkness of the world. And we pray that it would shine on those that do not have the knowledge of the Christ child, do not want to know the Christ child, do not want to know the love that you have to offer. May their hearts be penetrated by the touch of your grace and faith, which alone can change a life. Father, we ask that no matter where there are needs, with the elderly and with those who are sick, that you would uplift them and grant them grace and peace and comfort and healing. Heavenly Father, be with us this morning in this service. Be with our brother Misha as he proclaims your word to us by faith. And may all of us by faith be able to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. May we be able to hear whatever message it is that you have for us this morning. We know that our needs are many and our knowledge of them is limited. And so, Father, we ask that you would take our needs into consideration as we lift these prayers to you, and that we would hear the message that we are to hear for this time, for this place. Father, bless each one that is coming to the program tonight and the children who will perform, sing, and tell the story of Jesus, that they would be given strength and uplifting and a great joy to do what it is that we are here to do. All of this we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I suspect we're on song 20. Okay.
Good morning to everyone today, and may grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you today, and not only today, but all days of your lives. And thank you for allowing me today to speak in front of you. This is a big honor and responsibility, so I will try to say something. In this time of the year, this is a special season today, and we are going to celebrate birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ very soon, 1 week from now. And this is a special time when people have a special mood. They send Christmas cards to each other. They buy gifts for their relatives and friends, and a lot of other things. They are thinking what to cook for special Christmas dinner and so on. So, but also we more often than usually we sing Christmas hymns and read places from the Bible related to birth of Jesus Christ. And also today our church calendar recommends for us one of those texts about birth of Jesus Christ. And this is today from Gospel from Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And let us read in the name of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord has bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. So sometimes I think, or maybe I was thinking, was it necessary for God to come in human flesh to this world? Maybe it could be done in some another way, but first of all, maybe we should think, we say that Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord and Savior. So he came to save us from our sins. And again, question, was it necessary for God to come in human flesh to save people, to save us from our sins? Well, first of all, maybe we should think, why should we be saved? Why? And here we should go to the book of Genesis, to the very first time of mankind. And we can read in the Bible, and we know from the Bible, that when God created this world, everything was perfect. And when he created first people, first humans, they were also perfect. And they had direct communication with God. And God created them for this purpose, to have them, to have people as his companions, friends, and to have this communication with them. And he gave them some simple rules. Yes, and they should have been obeyed to these simple rules. But Adam and Eve, first people, they didn't obey God, and they fell in sin. So they committed a sin. And because of that, they were removed from paradise where they lived with God, because holy God, nothing dirty, nothing sinful can be in the presence of holy God. So, and also God established a law that payment, punishment for sin is death. So every sinner, everybody who commits sin must die. Must die, but it means because, also it is important to mention that when God created first people, he created them immortal. So they were created to live forever with God. But when sin came to the world, they also death came together with the sin to people. So, and it was a result of the fall of the people that death came, and after this earthly life, they will go to hell, to eternal separation from God. And later, God gave the way, some possibility for people to avoid this bad destiny. So he gave them the law. And again, simple rule. If you fulfill the law completely, if you don't violate any item of the law, you will go to paradise. But the problem was that nobody could fulfill the law completely. Nobody, none of us also. And so such situation was. So, and it was necessary to of salvation. So people needed to be saved from their sins and from eternal death. So now we understand so why we should be saved and why we need it. So then God established a special procedure. So he established forgiveness of sins or redemption from sins or atonement. So, and God established special procedure. There was no forgiveness of sins without sacrifice and without shedding of blood. And for sacrifice, God also established that a lamb should be sacrificed. Okay, and now I ask a question. Was it possible to find another way? Maybe not, maybe God shouldn't come in human flesh to the earth to save us from our sins. Maybe it was possible for God to find very bad, maybe the best man, the best prophet. We know that God, during history, God sent a lot of prophets to people, and they conveyed his words, his ideas to people. Maybe he could find the best prophet, and he could come and save people from their sins. Okay, let us consider this, let us think about this. And here we see, Unfortunately, no. So, but in fact, I think there are a lot of brave and courageous people who can step forward and say, I can die for to save all mankind. There is no doubt, a lot of such brave people. But the problem, we know that every job, every mission has special requirements for candidates, for those people who want to try to fulfill this mission. Yeah, no, for every job there are special requirements, for example, to lift 50 pounds or to know foreign languages and so on different, or to have experience. So, and what main requirement for this person, for this lamb who will be sacrificed for sins? And in the Old Testament, in many places, we can read special requirements for those sacrificial lambs. And the main requirement was that such lamb must be without spot, without blemish. He must be completely pure. And was it possible for God to find such a man, such a human, without blemish, without spot? I remember when we lived in Russia, we went to a Lutheran church, and there we had a certain order of service, and every Sunday service, all together, aloud, we read Confessions of Sins. And it started from words, I am a poor, sinful man, born from sinful generation. And this is a key point. And we didn't say, I am Misha, for example, or another, I am Peter, was born from sinful generation. No, everybody was born of sinful generation. And it is called, so-called, original sin. So all people have this original sin because we all born from this sinful generation. And because of that, human person, human, couldn't come and save people from their sins. Even the bravest people, they couldn't do. Even maybe they could give, maybe somebody could give his life, but it would be in vain. God wouldn't take this sacrifice. So sacrificial lamb must be without spot, without blemish. And what to do? Maybe another way was another possibility for God. Maybe just to leave how it was. Okay. The law was given to the people, they know the rules, and do it. But, as we already said, it was impossible to fulfill the law completely. And here again, okay, if you cannot fulfill the law, go to hell, to be separated from God. But here, because of the great love of God, he couldn't allow this. And just very famous and very simple reason for this, everybody knows it. So John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So because of his great love, God wanted to save his people, his creation, to whom he had so this great love. And God began to decide this problem. So, and there was no another way, only one possibility. So God himself decided to come to this world, to become a man, to be born as a just little human, as a baby, to grow, to live, to be 100% man, and then to die for them. Yes. And also maybe a little bit about sacrificial lambs. So we can see that in many places, again in the Bible, Jesus is compared with a lamb. He is called Lamb of God. For example, John the Baptist told about him, Gospel from John, verse 29. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here John the Baptist calls Jesus Lamb of God, sacrificial lamb. Also Peter, in the first epistle of Peter, again, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Peter writes, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Oh, here we see Jesus Christ. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot, the only one who could fulfill this mission. Yes, and now we came closer to our text today. So, and Gospel from Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. And in verse 18 we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Here we read, in this verse we see Mary, Mother Mary, and Joseph, her husband. And it was usual story when a young girl and a man, they meet together, they are going to be husband and wife. But here was very unusual thing, which happened only one time in whole history. So it was one very unusual thing, and what is this? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, in the Old Testament we can read several stories about miraculous births of children. For example, Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have children, but God promised that they will have a son, and Abraham then was 100 years old, Sarah was 90 years old, and it was impossible for them, but they had a son, finally, Isaac, because God gave them. So, and then short time before birth of Jesus Christ, there was another miraculous birth of John the Baptist, when Zechariah and Elizabeth, they also were old people, they didn't have children. And again, God's angel came to Zechariah, and he told them that they would have a son. It was also wonderful, miraculous children, wonderful births, but it was not like this, like a birth of Jesus Christ, because in previous cases, Isaac and John the Baptist, God maybe corrected some physiological problems, some medical problems. He corrected some things which happen with aging. But here, conception of Jesus Christ was completely, absolutely unique, because this conception was possible without men, just one girl. And another thing, so this Mary, she was a virgin, she was a young girl, and she didn't know any men, and she became pregnant. Yeah, it was completely, and it is written, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And here we see this unique mission of Holy Ghost. So we don't know how it was happened even, but we don't know. But somehow Holy Ghost put some God personality, God tiny portion to the womb of Mary, and she became pregnant. Yeah, so here we see this unique case. And also interesting that we began our text from verse 18. And first 17 verses of this chapter is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. We can see here, we can read here, list of his ancestors on his human side. And it took 17 verses. And then it is only briefly mentioned his, we can say, like book of generation on his God's side. On his God's side, it is only mentioned that child of the Holy Ghost. And it is understandable. So, because people on his human side, they were born, lived, died, then other people were born, and so totally many generations. But on his God's side, there was only one father, only one ancestor. It was God himself, who was, is, and will be forever. So, to describe book of generation of Jesus from his God's side, we don't need a lot of verses, a lot of words, just one. God himself. Okay, and we can read our story further. So then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So Mary and Joseph, they were not married yet. They were like engaged, probably. So And somehow Joseph, bridegroom, finds out that her bride is pregnant. So, and probably it was bad news for Joseph, and maybe he was in shock. So, and what to do? He wanted, but it is written, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So he wanted, he, in fact, according to their law, of Jewish law of that time, he could do many bad things for Mary. Who he could put her to big disgrace, he could tell everybody about her, and even he could demand her death according to their rules. But it is written here, Joseph was a just man and he didn't want to do it. He wanted just to let her go secretly, and just to let her go, and he wasn't going to tell anybody about the reason. In fact, he wanted to make like divorce. Yeah, just maybe because of circumstances. Like sometimes people say, different characters. Yeah. And here also we can consider another thing. When God decided to come to the people in human flesh, and he decided to that God, man, Jesus, should have been born from a virgin, maybe he could do it, just he could take a virgin to make her pregnant, and he will give a birth. But no, God wanted this Jesus, this baby, to be born in a full family. So he wanted to have full family where wife and husband. And also we know that when a little baby is born, he is helpless. For many years ahead, he needs help, he needs care from adults. Usually those adults are parents, sometimes grandparents or relatives or whosoever is around. So little humans, little babies, they need care. And God chose those two people, Mary and Joseph, as the best parents for him. Yeah, and because, so he wanted to have a complete, full family for him. So, and because when Jesus was born, when he was a child, he was completely dependent on those two people. So they fed him, then they took care about him. Then when he was growing, they taught him, they were bringing him up. So it was a big responsibility for them. So, and it was good for a little boy to have father and mother. Okay, and then we read in verse 20. But so we see that Joseph wanted to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. So when Joseph wanted to divorce with Mary, angel of the Lord came to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary the wife, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So, and here, so we see that angel of the Lord came to Joseph and he interceded for Mary. He protected her and he destroyed or overthrown these bad thoughts of Joseph. He explained to him that Mary is not bad. In fact, she is a pure and holy girl, and she is the best possible wife for him. So, and he explained him that that baby inside of Mary is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And what is good about Joseph here? He believed God. And this is two features. This feature is correct both for Mary and Joseph. Both of them were godly people, of course, and they obeyed God, both of them. Both of them. For example, when the Lord spoke to Mary, she said, let it be with me according to your word. And here we see that Joseph is about the same. So angel of the Lord told him, explained him situation, and Joseph didn't have any doubts. He believed it completely. And then another important thing, angel continues in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. Yeah. So, and here we, first time we read the name of this baby, Jesus. And also it is written, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shall call his name. So, angel gives a task for Joseph to put his, to give name to this baby and call him Jesus. And what does this word Jesus mean? It means salvation. It means salvation. And then in verse 22 it is written that it was prophesied in the Bible before, in the Old Testament. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This verse 23 is taken from book of Isaiah, chapter 7. Yeah, chapter 7. So it was predicted that a virgin shall be with child. And here we read about another name of Jesus, Emmanuel. And this is maybe not exactly a name, but this is rather like a title, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And here we see two missions of Jesus. First, to save his people from their sins. But also it is written here, here, he shall save his people from their sins. But who are those his people? And here we should understand that his people are all people, all mankind. So Jesus came to this world to save everybody. And in fact, there is no difference for him. He wants to save maybe preacher in church and some alcoholic outside of church. So God loves both of them equally, and he wants to be to save both of them. And we know a lot of examples when people were alcoholics or drug addicts, but they were healed by God when they came to faith in Jesus Christ. They were healed from this bad habit, and they became Christians, and they became holy. In fact, their sins were forgiven, and they were saved finally. So to save save his people from their sins. His people means all people. So Jesus came to save all people. But another thing, that not all people accept this salvation. But this is not God's fault. And sometimes I think that if somebody is saved and he will get to paradise, to heaven, it will be done completely because of God's grace. It will be so he cannot boast, "Oh, I'm saved because I'm good, I did good things." No, his salvation completely, 100% belongs to God. And another thing, if somebody in his time will get to hell, it will be again 100% his fault, not God's fault. Because sometimes people say, "Oh, God didn't do something good for me." But so it's a simple thing, I think. So if you get to hell, or I get to hell, it will be completely my fault. God has done everything what was possible from his side to save me. And if I get to hell, it will be my fault. But if I get to heaven, it will be all glory for this must go to God. He has done this. Yeah, okay. And what else we can say here? So, and interesting about his names. So first, Jesus, salvation, and Emmanuel, God with us. And today, this his names are working. So, like Emmanuel, his name is working. It means God is with us. And today, Jesus is with us, exactly with us. How he can know him, because of through prayers, but mostly because of his word, because of his word. And Jesus is with us through his word. And in the Bible we can read a lot of good instructions for our lives. We are young or old, doesn't matter. But Jesus gave us good lessons, good teaching for many, many cases, even from our life. So, and he's with us through his word. And how does it work today? Recently I was quite impressed. I read some information, such information. For example, a lot of people in North America, in the United States, for example, in 2019, one out of five people in the United States had mental issues. They had depression and anxiety. Yeah, so they had mental problems. And it was in 2019. And when next year, when the pandemic came, this number was doubled. And also it was written in this article that a growing shortage of psychiatrists and enormous demand for mental health services. This one example. And another example, information from November of 2021, 1 year ago, 70% of Americans have a climate change depression again. 70%. So, and I think this is because God is not with them. Of course, there are different situations and different issues with health can be, but not 70%, I think. Maybe 1-2%, but not 70%. And this problem, I think, comes to us because people turn away from God. They turn away from God. And when they turn away from God, this something inside of them is empty. So another, somebody else comes there. So enemy of our soul comes there. And he tells them. So it is interesting. I heard one man said that Jesus most often used words, don't be afraid and rejoice. Jesus said, don't be afraid. He didn't say, be in depression. No. So Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be joyful, even in difficult circumstances. Still, don't be afraid and rely on God's help. But a lot of people, they turn away from God, and also it is there is a universal rule, I think, which is described in Epistle of Paul to Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And this is universal rule. You believe what you hear. And faith, it is written there, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from word of God. So if we listen, if we hear word of God, we will believe to this word. But if we hear something else, if we hear about climate change, we will believe to this climate change. But there is a difference. When we hear God's word, when we believe to God's word, comfort comes to us. And like blessed assurance comes to us. And it helps overcome our problems. But when faith comes from opposite side, it brings depression, anxiety, it brings maybe even thoughts of suicide and bad things. So I think for those 70% of Americans, God, I doubt that God is with them. Yeah. Okay. Then verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. So Joseph was completely obedient to God, and he did exactly like the Lord told to him. And this is not the only one about Joseph. We can see that we don't know a lot about Joseph from the Bible, but we can see that later God told him, go the baby and his mother and go to Egypt to save them from death. And Joseph, without doubts, did it. And then God told him, go back, he went. So this is, again, good things about Joseph. And then another, the last verse, verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And here, and he, Joseph, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph gave, it is not written that Mary gave name to the boy. Joseph gave this name Jesus, like he was told, to the boy. And it means that Joseph, as if acknowledged Jesus as his son, he like adopted him. So when a man at that society gave name to a little baby, it means that he's his father. His father. Yeah. So in this text we see two wonderful people, so Mary and Joseph. Yeah. And they can be a good example for all of us. For all of us. And in the end, maybe I would say that Christmas is very important for all of us. And what does it mean to us personally? Of course, we like to come together when Christmas, we see the family, friends, but this is also very personal thing. That little boy, that Jesus was born to this world exactly for each of us personally. Yeah. And only in him we can be saved, and only in him our sins can be forgiven. And today all of us can believe that our sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ and because of his shed blood. So, and in conclusion, I want to thank you that you had time to listen to me, and I would like to wish you, all of you and your families, blessed Christmas, and may God bless all of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.